Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Eagles finalizing a trade that would send Michael Bennett to the Patriots.
I love football. Whatever team I'm on, I'm going to take that same attitude and go out there and be a nasty player and try to dominate.
Dale Arnold.
And the Boston 19 consecutive game with a point streak will come to an end in Pittsburgh. Penguins 4, Bruins 2. The streak is over.
Rich Keefe.
I did some coaching on the plane myself. I helped Brad. I helped Coach Stevens with some coaching.
Dale and Keefe.
They're there than where he could have been stuffing them. Well, speaking of heightening or lengthening.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Of course, the irony of that cut is that we just spent the last 20 minutes in the office, and I was explaining to Jason Rossi how my wife and I got Shawshanked by the Lorena Bobbitt docuseries on Netflix.
Holy smokes.
I heard lengthening or shortening.
Oh, Dale, please. I heard that you're explaining that it is very graphic.
Oh, they show, they show full frontal pictures at post-injury. And
a lot of angles?
You only need just one.
Well, I was curious. Well, no, I guess I am curious, Dale. You know that. My friends.
That's why they call you.
Whiskers. So yeah. I will have to check this out at some point.
Now, it's funny because when I suggested to my wife that we watch it, she said, no, thank you.
It's a pass.
And then she's the one saying, all right, hit part two. All right, hit part three.
We should probably watch it. That's what's coming up right now, Jason, is we're talking about that. He doesn't want to talk about it. He's so disgusted by it.
He was like quivering in the office. It's like, I don't want to talk about that.
Well, we all watched something uplifting this weekend. Dale watched Lorena Bobbitt. Rossi watched the Michael Jackson thing, and I watched the Adnan Syed on HBO. So all kind of,
I think
warm stories.
All of them.
Jesus.
Whatever we discuss over the next 4 hours will make me feel a hell of a lot better about life than what
that is a
we
good point.
I understand.
Those are all terrible.
I don't know how it came up. I was saying, we got Shawshanked. And once you start, you can't stop.
No, you got to see how it
ends. By the way, no spoiler alert here.
Yeah.
You don't have to get deep into the four parts before you hate.
He's a terrible guy.
John Bobbitt.
John Bobbitt's a terrible guy, and he deserved what happened to him. He does.
I kind of wish he just killed him, but...
Well, there's something to be said for like a little bit of torture like that, a little bit of pain. There's something to be said.
A little bit of pain?
Well, I don't know.
Trust me. I assume
you go in shock. I don't know for sure.
I hope you pass out.
You must. Something's got to happen. I remember being, because what year was that? That was a long time ago,
like
right?
95, right?
Yeah, because we were pretty young. I remember when that came out, and I remember that was just so mind-blowing to me. And I thought that would have killed you. I was like, wait a minute. So the guy is alive? That? Like, that guy's still alive? They're like, oh, yeah. And then they
had to find it first.
They found it in the field. I remember that. I remember like as
there
a kid,
was grass
like,
up to their knees, like, and they're traipsing around in this field trying to find this thing. Like, she pulled up to an intersection and said, "Oh, I still have it."
Hucked it out of the car.
It out the car window.
1993.
So I was 9 years old, and I remember hearing about that story. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, wait a minute. So that can happen to you, and you can survive. And then because there was just jokes on top of jokes. And then she was driving with it.
Oh, they did. They showed a lot of the different.
It was like SNL and stuff. They all did it. They all did it. I remember all those.
Talking about it.
It was a huge story. Imagine that story with Twitter and with Facebook and with everything else. What would have happened in memes? Imagine the memes then. Oh, my God.
But that's where I.
Good start.
Simpson and I got caught by that yet. Well, he played that cut in the open.
I'll check it out. Oh, this was a classic. Anytime you get a little Weird Al going.
Well, whatever works. So then imagine my surprise when I see, the Patriots are making a deal. For what?
Yeah. How about that? Just when we left, right? We leave Friday at 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
It happened a couple hours later.
Work it up a couple of hours.
Could have helped us. So the deal's happened. We haven't had a chance to talk about it yet, but here comes Michael Bennett, everybody's favorite player, Michael Bennett.
I to this day, I love that footage at the end of the Super Bowl where Gronk's ragdolling this guy.
Yes. Yeah, there was that footage. There was also, wasn't there reports, wasn't it before the Super Bowl against the Falcons, was it? Where he may have shoved somebody, like a paraplegic woman. There was that whole back and forth.
He's still going to trial on that.
He's going to trial for that one. We, of course, talked
about her out of her wheelchair.
The situation in Vegas. We talked about that one, yep. Right? We talked about that one for a while with Michael
Bennett.
And
none of us were defending him.
No.
For anything.
Nope.
And now all of a sudden, it's like Albert Hainsworth shows up and, hey!
Hey, look who's here! Look who's on the team!
Michael.
He'll work out. Now, there was also, was it the Philadelphia Eagles' last playoff game where there was like a cameraman or a photographer that got kind of close to him? And he was like really obnoxious to this guy. I don't know if
don't
he shoved him exactly.
It, but I'm not a bit
no,
surprised.
But it was like, here we go yeah. again. It was like another one of these stories. Like, this guy seems like a real pain in the butt. And yet, not surprised. I honestly was not that surprised. It's the kind of move the Patriots would make. They trade a fifth rounder, but they get a seventh in return. So you move down 50 or 60 picks, and then you get Michael Bennett.
I feel like you're basically getting him for nothing. Now, His contract is very reasonable, although he's not happy with it.
He wants more money, which...
Of course he does.
I wonder if they anticipated that, or if they're like, oh,
or
great.
If they just say, tough.
They could do that.
Now, the Keefspiracy theory here, for some people,
yes.
is that this is just another attempt by the Patriots to maybe lure Martellus out of retirement. Yeah, you had that Instagram video where he's you know, yelling at Gronk recently, I'm coming, Gronk! Robin's coming, Batman. You know, that whole thing.
Yeah, you get both the Bennett boys. You get the McCourty twins. You really get something going here.
Well,
add another Gronk.
In Martellus Bennett's case, that would be an area of great need.
Yeah, if he's still got anything left,
and
right?
That's question.
Yeah, who knows with that? Michael Bennett seems like he could still play a little bit. You know, he's 33 years old, but he had 9 sacks last season, played in all 16 games. You know, he was a Pro Bowler the year before. His last year in Seattle, he was a Pro Bowler. This past year in Philly, he wasn't. That was his first year in Philly, but he was still pretty productive. He can line up in a few different spots for you. Now, I know a lot of people immediately, when they heard about the Bennett news, thought, well, that's it for Trey Flowers.
My first thought was...
Was it?
Because, I mean, supposedly, and this is the... I love this term, the legal tampering period. That's like jumbo shrimp.
Yeah, what's the point?
If it's legal, it's not tampering. If it's tampering, it's not legal. So anyway, today's the legal tampering period, and the story out there is that Matt Patricia really wants Trey Flowers.
No surprise.
And that the Lions will go to $18 million a year for him.
In Miami, we know wants him to. Perfect time, by the way. I'll get back to Bennett, but perfect time for Trey Flowers to be a free agent.
Oh, he's
super young. And
good.
He has two of his former defensive coordinators are head coaches in the league. Like, how many guys have that where they come up there and the whole league could be interested just based on tape and based on, you know, how good he's been for the Patriots? But when you have Patricia and Flores, where you were a huge part of both of their defenses and they are running teams, of course they're going to want you. So it could be a bidding war between those three teams. And my hope is if it's close, he chooses the Patriots. I haven't completely ruled him out there.
I read it the way you said. Okay, they got a lower priced add-on here to replace Trey Flowers.
And that may be what it is, but I also thought...
Because they're going to give that money to somebody else.
They gave a decent amount of money to Adrian Claiborne.
Yep.
Do you have a favorite Adrian Claiborne play? Does anybody have a favorite play of Adrian Claiborne that they liked from the season?
Hold on, we'll
that one,
Ross,
you know,
have the one?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, that one. That was a huge one.
That one was good.
And they paid him a good amount of money for it. They paid him similar money to what Michael Bennett is making. And I understand you had Trey Flowers on his rookie deal. So if you looked at the cost of the defensive line, it really wasn't crazy. But Trey Flowers is good enough. I still stand by it. I think there's room for Trey Flowers and Michael Bennett both on the team. I think that would be best case scenario.
I just don't think there's any way in the world Belichick will go to $18 million a year for Trey Flowers.
Probably not.
He probably loves him.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's a lot of money.
He seems like the perfect Patriots player.
Right.
You know, he does whatever he's asked to do. He's not a problem. He's the perfect guy.
And
but
loses,
I think Belichick has these numbers. This is what
we're
willing to pay for that. But we're not going there.
And losing him to Detroit's not the end of the world either. Kind of out of sight, out of mind. I don't think they're going to be very good. It's not like you have to play him twice, like going to Miami or, you know, to the Jets or anything like that.
Oh, they already beat you, so you won't see him for a while.
No, that's true. But Michael Bennett, I like the move. I mean, the guy seems like kind of a headache, but the Patriots have brought in a lot of headaches, a lot of pains in the asses before, and they've worked out.
Some haven't.
Right.
Albert Hainsworth did not work out at all.
But he didn't work out on the field.
That's what I'm saying.
But he didn't bring the team down. He didn't destruct it. It was like, all right, see you later. Like, you're not working out.
I honestly don't think that any player could destroy the locker room here. They're too strong. They're too well entrenched.
The closest was probably Adalys Thomas. That's probably the closest.
And that didn't work.
And even that didn't work, but I don't know. I mean, they've always still been able to overcome anything. But they've also brought in guys. They're like, man, do they have anything left in the tank? And then they do, and they give you a year or two. Like, I don't think anybody's saying, oh, great, Michael Bennett, like, put him in there for the next four seasons. Like, no, this could be 1 year. This could be 1 year, regardless of what his contract is. And I think it could work. Now, the other layer of this is he played for Greg Schiano in Tampa.
Didn't like it
so
much.
He is not a fan of Greg Schiano. Here's what Michael Bennett told Michael Silver of NFL.com back in 2013. I think he just wants to flex his power. He has small man syndrome. I still talk to guys who are there, and trust me, there's not much respect for him in that locker room. He's trying to be Belichick. Yeah, some people think Belichick's a blank, but he's a legend.
Right.
When this guy acts that way, it's a whole different deal. So, I mean, that also explains why to me, and I know Schiano wasn't in the Belichick coaching tree, and now I guess he technically will be.
Although they still haven't announced it.
No, he hasn't announced it, but don't you get the sense like that is why those other guys don't work in a nutshell? When he says, yeah, Belichick's a blank, but he's a legend. Like, when Matt Patricia comes in, or Josh McDaniels comes in, or Bill O'Brien, those guys aren't legends yet. They haven't won anything on their own. And so, Michael Bennett, not a fan of Greg Schiano, that is going to be a pretty intriguing storyline here.
Although, inevitably, what happens is they'll get together in an office, shake hands. Bennett will come out saying, oh, yeah, that's water under the bridge.
He seems different to me.
Yeah, but I'm just
I don't know if Michael
you,
Bennett will do that.
It's like when the Bruins, I should say, acquire Marcus Johansson.
Yeah.
And, you know, he'd had his season ended by a cheap shot from Brad Marchand. Says some really tough things about Marchand. The Bruins make the deal. Marchand gives him a call. He comes out, oh, no, we're good now.
But
we're buds.
Are you comparing Marchand and Johansson to Michael Bennett
no, I'm
and
just
Greg
saying
Schiano?
That these things always inevitably, when Bennett's, oh, he's my coach now? Oh, no, we're good. No, we'll be fine.
I really don't think so with Bennett. Now, maybe if they give him more money, maybe he'll feel a little bit better. Hey, it's a little bit easier for me to take coaching from this guy now. But I don't think anything has changed. And I think if Greg Schiano tries to come in here and coach Michael Bennett the same way, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if you get a similar reaction. Now, I know players have come in. I think Michael Bennett will, without question, respect Bill Belichick.
Oh, no doubt.
I think every player in the league respects Bill Belichick.
Yep.
But I don't know if one conversation is going to make him respect Greg Schiano. I really don't. And so that's going to be a interesting...
Well, I think the conversation that will make him respect Greg Schiano won't be
comes
between...
from Belichick.
It won't be between he and Schiano.
Right.
It'll be between he and Belichick, who's going to say... Listen,
right.
He's the defensive coordinator. Don't give him any crap.
But that could be a thing where all of a sudden that's fine in training camp, and then all of a sudden on the sideline, you know, after a touchdown drive by the opponent, and then you see Greg Schiano talking to Michael Bennett. You don't think that could be some fireworks? I think Michael Bennett doesn't strike me as a guy who's going to hold his tongue on too many things, whether it is a like a political issue or something going on in the locker room. He's pretty outspoken. They've had outspoken guys before they come to the Patriots, and they're a lot more quiet that season. In different things, right? Like Chad Ochocinco, very outspoken, kind of on the field. He didn't say a word, was barely even on the field. Then you have guys like Chris Long, who's very active in the community and things like that. But as far as him kind of taking a lot of attention that season, that also didn't really happen. So I wouldn't be surprised if Michael Bennett falls into line. But the Schiano part, I'm not sure of.
I just think that inevitably that guy who he calls a legend, and rightly so, will have more sway over him than the guy that he thinks has little man syndrome, who he probably doesn't like a whole lot or respect a whole lot. But that big guy in the corner office says, I have to, so I will. Now, it may be that the Patriots are looking at another possibility to help replace Trey Flowers. Field Yates has already suggested that the Patriots could be interested in Kansas City's Justin Houston, who was
just got cut,
released yesterday, four-time Pro Bowler. They couldn't find anybody who would take his $15.2 million contract, and so they released him. Now, he's not the same player he was back in 2014 when he had 22 sacks, but he's still a productive player as well.
Yeah.
Could it be that would be another guy that they could possibly bring in here?
Yeah, definitely.
Thinking, you know, we're not going to keep Trey. I wish beyond anything that they could keep Trey Flowers. I just don't see it happening.
Me too. It just seems like it's going to be so much money. And so many of the edge rushers got franchised by their teams. And so Justin Houston getting cut sort of puts another one out there on the market. But for a while, Trey Flowers looked like he was head and shoulders above everybody. He'll still get more money than Justin Houston. But I think Houston's still going to make a lot of money. Now, nobody wants the $15 million. But also, part of that is no team wanted to trade a pick and pay the $15 million. If you're just signing them, maybe it's a little bit easier for you to do that if you're not giving up a pick as well. But yeah, Trey Flowers hitting the market at the absolute perfect time, and I'm not surprised at all that Matt Patricia decided to get involved there. They just grabbed another Patriot former Patriot in Danny Amendola. And so now he's trying to build Patriots Midwest there potentially with Trey Flowers.
I thought for a brief moment maybe Amendola would come here. Seems like a very reasonable contract. 1 year deal, what, $4.5 million?
Yeah.
A guy who has had some gigantic playoff games for the Patriots.
Yeah, but I bet the Patriots offer to him was $600,000. I bet they did not offer him very much. They made him take a pay cut like three consecutive seasons.
Right.
Then he went and signed for more money in Miami. I think it's actually a pretty good deal for him. I mean, you look at, he's not making much more than Julian Edelman's making. And I think he has a chance. The base is $4.5 million. He has a chance to make just under $6 million. So that's pretty good for Amendola. And also, you remember he had some comments about the Patriots when he left. Like, he was one of those guys that kind of piled on Bill Belichick a little bit. And I don't think that would guarantee like he wouldn't return, but I wonder if there was a little bit of a factor there in what that relationship's like.
There's some other interesting possibilities out there as the beginning of the legal tampering period begins.
Mm-hmm.
There's some thought out there that the Patriots may be interested in wide receiver Terrell Williams.
He's one of the highest ranked receivers.
The guy that they say, okay, this is going to be our big time wide receiver acquisition. We'll go get that guy. It's going to cost you a lot of money.
Yeah. But they need receivers.
But they have no receiver. They literally have one receiver on the roster who's got an NFL catch.
Which is outrageous. And now he's had a bunch of catches, and he's had some really clutch catches, and he's good, and you like him on the team. Tyrell Williams would be very out of character for them. He's 6'4". They usually have all these little tiny receivers, but Tyrell Williams, we were going over the list before one of these players, it might have been ESPN, had their top 100 free agents, and out of all the wide receivers, he was the highest ranked. I personally would really like Golden Tate. Golden Tate would be my number one priority. But if they get Tyrell Williams, that's a pretty nice addition. He's had some good years out there with the Chargers, playing with Phillip Rivers. Kind of a forgotten name. Like, he's not Keenan Allen on that team. And, you know, we don't always see the Chargers play every week. But he's been a pretty productive player, and I think could fit in here pretty nicely.
Speaking of wide receivers, is there a dumber organization in professional football than the Pittsburgh Steelers? So the Pittsburgh Steelers,
they do have competition.
Well, but
Jets.
The Pittsburgh Steelers will have a cap hit for Antonio Brown of $21 million this year. So their cap hit for Antonio Brown is higher than any wide receiver's cap hit for teams they're playing for.
So
the cap hit for the Steelers,
I don't get any of this.
To have Antonio Brown
right.
go away
yeah.
is $21 million. And didn't he also at this point set about a blueprint for other players in the NFL? Hey, you really want to make sure that your money, which isn't guaranteed, suddenly becomes guaranteed. What you need is a perfect combination of one dumb organization in the Pittsburgh Steelers and another dumb organization in the Oakland Raiders.
You got the Raiders. There's plenty of teams like it. And so somebody had a tweet. It might have been Burt Breer over the weekend, and they were so spot on. They said, if you look at the three highest paid players who are not quarterbacks, so put the quarterbacks to the side, the three highest paid players in the league are Khalil Mack, Aaron Donald, and Antonio Brown. What do they have in common? Two holdouts, and then whatever you would call Antonio Brown's thing.
I don't know what you call it.
Let's just call it an Antonio Brown, because that's what it was. But those three guys, and you can say what you want about them, but it works. You know, Drew Rosenhaus may have been behind some of the antics that Antonio Brown had, but it works. And for anybody that thinks that that's outrageous, you're right, it is outrageous, but it's also how you get things done in the league. And I think a good example is the same weekend you're seeing Justin Houston. Nobody wanted to pay him, or the Chiefs didn't want to pay him $15 million, so they just cut him. That was his contract, so they just cut him. They wanted to let him go. So if you want to get any kind of power back, you have to do what these guys did, were willing to do. Now,
by the way, I don't blame any of them.
No, I know.
I mean, in the NFL, where so little money is guaranteed, where I don't even know why they use the word contract. They're not contracts if both sides don't have to live by them.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, players can be like Justin
it's
Houston.
Smart to...
Sorry, Justin, you got to go.
Right. So those guys, I mean, in the NFL, that's the one time. And, you know, I know the owners love these non-guaranteed deals and everything, but if they wanted to figure this out and prevent holdouts and prevent guys sitting out the last game of the season or a Le'Veon Bell situation and all that, they need to figure out how to get more guaranteed money.
Something will happen today. Some player will spout off. Some team will cut a guy. Somebody will become available out of nowhere. And the Patriots will just very quietly the background.
Make a nice move.
Do what they're doing.
Sure.
They won't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't even know about Michael Bennett from any New England source that we know of.
No, that came out of nowhere.
And we don't know anything. I mean, in terms of what the pay... We don't even know who the assistant coaches are yet. I mean, we're pretty sure
Belichick's
Greg Schiano...
He's the
one defensive guy still on the staff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're pretty sure Greg Schiano's the defensive coordinator, but not because they've told us. Because Belichick says to Stacey James... We'll do it when I feel like doing it. And that's not today. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We've got Celtic stuff to talk about today. We've got Bruins stuff to talk about today. A lot of NFL football stuff to talk about today. We'll get to the calls with you guys in just a couple of minutes. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Breaking news here on CBS Sports HQ. The Eagles finalizing a trade that would send Michael Bennett to the Patriots. That's according to multiple reports. The Pats are likely to lose Trey Flowers to free agency this offseason. So adding Bennett, three-time Pro Bowler, will shore up their D-line. Had 9 sacks, 34 tackles for the Eagles last season. As you take a look at the player profile, Super Bowl champ. Spent many years in Seattle, Tampa Bay before that. Inevitably, doesn't it seem like the trade cost to acquire a player is never as high as you think it is?
Ever.
It's never. I mean, Antonio Brown was traded for the number 66 and number 142 picks.
So dumb. It happens all the time.
And I always say, oh, that's going to cost you a couple of first-round picks.
Now,
no, it's not.
Every once in a while, you get the, like, Khalil Mack going for a couple first rounds. Like, every once in a while, there's a player like that goes for maybe what you expect. But other than that, so many times, and usually maybe it's because of the player's contract or just the reason maybe he's forcing a trade, these really, really good to great players go for, like, middle-round picks. And it's you just say... Why didn't one team offer something a little bit better? Like, there wasn't a team out there that wouldn't give up a second-round pick
and inevitably,
for Antonio Brown?
Inevitably, before the... And somebody will bring this up today. Let me just help you, okay? Couldn't the Patriots have done that? Yes, they could have. Pittsburgh would not have traded him here.
They would not. They would have taken even less to go somewhere else.
There is zero chance
that
they were going to trade him to the New England Patriots. No chance.
No, I know.
So could the and I don't think they'd be interested in the kind of money that he's making anyway. $19.5 million for a wide receiver and $30 million mm-hmm. now guaranteed. But even if they were, you think Pittsburgh's trading him here?
No, zero chance. I mean, every team in their division and the Patriots were probably the only teams off limits. They weren't going to send them to the Browns, and we're going to send them to the Bengals or the Ravens, and then that was it. They were looking for whatever they could do. They almost traded him to the Bills, at least according to Rappaport. That didn't happen, and now he goes to the Raiders, which at least seems like a team Antonio Brown's excited to go. Like, he was the one who announced it, basically. He had the Photoshop ready to go on Instagram and on Twitter.
And in the picture, he looks like he's 102 years old.
He looks good, though, I thought.
Ripped. He's ripped and
Mr.
jacked.
Mr. Big Chest?
Yeah,
right?
Mr. Big Chest.
Yeah, he looks pretty good. He looks ready to go. But the Patriots news, obviously, was Michael Bennett. Do you like the move overall?
Yeah.
I think you have to you didn't give up anything.
You gave up nothing.
And it's Trey Flowers insurance, or you have them both, and you're in really great shape.
And truthfully, if he arrives here and is a pain in the ass, see you later.
So it's good news for us. I think he's good news, because he, as much as you try to quiet some of these guys, or the Patriots always do, Michael Bennett's still going to be good for some quotes.
He won't pop off here.
I don't know if he'll pop off, but even Martellus Bennett had some wacky quotes, his brother who was here.
Right.
Nothing to really get you
negative.
In trouble.
Yeah,
no.
Nothing where you go, Burge says you got to go see Bill now. Mm-hmm. That's not what we're talking about. And I don't think Michael Bennett will have that happen here either. When you arrive here, especially if you're a veteran player, you arrive with a complete knowledge of what it is that is expected of you. And in the rare instances where you can't, come through with your side of the bargain, they'll just cut your ass.
No, they definitely could. And I told you, really, the most fascinating thing of this is Michael Bennett and Greg Schiano reunited again. I gave you the quote he had in 2013. There's a CBS article that does a good job tracking down a few of these. So 2013, that was the one where he said, he tries to be like Belichick, which is funny to think that 6 years ago, before these guys were even on the same staff together, Bennett was already associating the two, but he says that Belichick's a legend. He's like, this guy isn't. Then 2 years later, so 2015, Michael Bennett was talking with SB Nation Bucks website, and the radio host there said, that Bennett seems like a guy who couldn't play for a stiff, and Bennett responded by saying that he did that before. It wasn't fun, quote, his name is Greg Schiano. So, I mean.
But there's a difference, too, between playing for Greg Schiano, the head coach, and Greg Schiano, the defensive coordinator, because the guy who is the head coach carries a lot more clout, and if he says that's your guy, then you just sort of put up with it.
That is true, unless and I think a lot of it will also have to do with how Greg Schiano reacts. He heard all this stuff, and does he take it personally, or does he want to start over with Michael Bennett, or does he also kind of hold a grudge? And then you have two guys kind of, even though he doesn't have the same power here as he did in Tampa Bay, just how do they get along? When it's a defensive meeting room and Greg Schiano is leading that, and so for that right. time, like, he's the boss right now, and if he's telling Michael Bennett to do a certain thing, or how will he? At some point, Schiano is going to have to either correct or criticize, I'm guessing, every member of the defense at some point.
Yeah.
And when it gets to Michael Bennett, how is that going to work out? Is Bennett going to be receptive of that? It feels like a no right now.
Well, then he'll be gone.
Yeah, we'll see.
Inevitably, it'll be, Bill would like to talk to you, Michael. And then it's going to be, he's the defensive coordinator.
So then you have Derek Rivers and Dietrich Wise. I feel like Michael Bennett could be more important than Greg Schiano.
Yeah, but he will not be more important than Greg Schiano.
I'm not wild about Greg Schiano.
But I know you're not. But the fact of the matter is, for Bill Belichick, sorry, you're not more important.
But the replacement for Schiano.
There might be one player on this team who's more important than his coordinator, and that's it.
No.
Oh,
no,
yes.
Really?
Would you rather have
Stephon Gilmore or Greg Schiano?
No, it's not who I'd rather have.
No, that's what I'm saying. No, who's more important?
Do you think that if Stephon Gilmore went to Bill Belichick and said, I can't play for this guy,
then they should get rid of the coordinator?
They will never.
They should.
Ever, ever do that.
So you would rather have Greg Schiano than Gilmore?
That's not the point.
Well, that is.
No.
That is the point.
No, I'm asking, do you think Belichick would fire Schiano?
I said he should.
If Michael Bennett
said. No, Michael Bennett's not good enough.
Or if Stephon Gilmore
said, he should.
I don't want to play for this guy.
I'm not getting rid of my number one corner for a guy who's not a very good coach.
What I asked was, do you think Belichick would do that?
I don't care if he would or if he wouldn't.
No,
he
that's
should.
The whole point
no,
of the
No, but I'm asking you. So, because you know that
chance.
He should. But he should.
No chance.
But he should.
No, never.
Who will help the Patriots
never.
Win more games, Gilmore or Schiano?
You're going to have
who
a
will,
player
no, answer that one.
Your
answer
staff?
That one. Yeah, that if the player's that good, who would help the team win more games? Greg Schiano? Please, Belichick can run the defense.
But he
Belichick's kid can run the defense.
Well, let's not go
yes,
crazy.
Yes, he can.
Here.
Steve, I like what he's done. Good safety. Best safeties in the league, Dale. He's doing a hell of a job
to
coaching
quote
him up.
A guy I once knew. Don't get slappy.
Don't,
here.
Coaching him up. I would much rather have Gilmore than Greg Schiano. Now, Bennett, let's see what he has left in the tank. He's coming off a good year in Philly. And I know that he wouldn't take the side of the player. I'm saying he probably should if the player is really good.
The only player who could pull that off, and he never would, obviously.
Well, no, they're best buds.
If Brady went right. to Belichick and said, listen, I can't deal with this guy anymore. Well, then Josh McDaniels would be gone. There is no other player on the team who could get their position coordinator fired.
I think Gilmore's important enough where you should he should be able to. Because then he's like, all right, we're sticking with Schiano. His first year as a D coordinator after he was a failure as a head coach. And now we're promoting J.C. Jackson to number one corner. That would be worse for the team than if you said, all right, Schiano's out.
Never happen.
I don't care if it wouldn't happen. I'm just saying that's what you should do. How? What would you
well,
win more games
stupid.
With?
So,
what do you mean? No, it's not stupid. It's all about winning games.
So Stephon Gilmore goes to Belichick and says, I want him gone.
Yeah.
You should fire him.
Yeah.
Oh, that's just the dumbest thing you've ever said.
All right, so what are you going to do? Get rid of Gilmore?
You're going to say to Gilmore, shut up, play. Yeah. We're paying you a lot
of
money.
What if it was so bad?
Play.
What if it was so bad? He's like, this guy stinks as a coordinator. I can't stand him. None of the guys like him.
Well, guess what? I'm the head coach. I decide who the coordinator is, not you.
I'll be like, all right, well, you got a mutiny on your hands now. Because
good luck with that.
Yeah, well,
a mutiny on a Bill Belichick team.
It could happen. 09. It could happen.
Shut up and dribble.
What? I don't even know if that applies right now.
He said, shut up and play.
Yeah, that has a whole other meaning to it. I don't know if that...
no, you cannot fire a coach because a player wants him gone. Ever.
All right, you should. I'd rather have Antonio Brown than Mike Tomlin. Wouldn't you? If you were a Pittsburgh fan and you could pick between the two, wouldn't you rather have Antonio Brown than Mike Tomlin?
I'm not a huge Antonio Brown...
But...
Look, he's a wonderful player. Yeah. I understand that. I think he's toxic. And so,
I think Roethlisberger and Tomlin are a problem.
Well, or the guys
they may all be. They may all be. Well, no, that's true, too. Their GM's a mess.
It sure seems it.
Yeah, he does.
So their cap hit for Antonio Brown to play for the Oakland Raiders is $21 million. 11% of the Steelers' cap is tied up with a guy that's now going to be playing for John Gruden.
It doesn't make any sense. One of my favorite things that came out from the weekend is they, last season, the Steelers made a trade with the Raiders also for a wide receiver. They sent them Martavis Bryant, who there was a chance he was going to be suspended, for a third-round pick. The next year, they trade Antonio Brown for a third and a fifth. Like, what is going on? And then the Raiders, on top of that... So the Raiders...
So in effect now, they're going to lose Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown
for nothing.
For a third and fifth round draft pick.
And a comp pick. Whatever they get for Bell.
That seems like good management to me.
You had the best running back wide receiver duo in the NFL, and then they're both gone, and you don't get a first or a second round pick for it. I also, do you understand what the Raiders are doing? So last year, they trade away Khalil Mack because they don't want to pay him the money, even though they should have because he's a monster. Then they trade away Amari Cooper, which I don't have as big of a deal
with. But then they
went,
oh, crap, we don't have any wide receivers who matter.
Right, so now they're trading for Antonio Brown. It seems like the big personalities and the big-time players there, John Gruden was getting rid of. So, like, are they all of a sudden going to be good now? Or, like, I don't think so. I love Antonio Brown, but... I don't think he makes the Raiders anything special. They have a lot of other issues.
And they're going to pay him $19.5 million.
He got his money.
And they're going to guarantee $30
million.
He got
his money.
He went from zero guaranteed dollars to $30 million guaranteed dollars.
Yeah. It's good. That Drew Rosenhaus wins again.
Well, Antonio Brown, or maybe Rosenhaus was orchestrating it. By the way, if he
they
was,
both did.
If Rosenhaus was orchestrating it, wouldn't you have a problem if you're a GM in this league dealing with that guy?
Yeah.
If you thought that he was saying, okay, here's what you're going to do, Antonio. Okay?
Yes.
You're going to show up at the stadium, then you're going to leave, all right? You're not going to do that. I mean...
You would have a huge problem until you looked at the list of players that he represents. And then you say, ugh, fine, get him in here. Let's talk about Gronk. Let's talk about whoever. He has every client.
But my guess is, and I ultimately, as we know, the agent works for the player, not the other way around.
Yeah.
this is Antonio Brown's decision. He's the one who decided he was going to act like a jerk.
Yeah, I would be.
He's the one who blew it up.
Yes, but I think that Drew Rosenhaus maybe gave him a little bit of a blueprint. Like, I don't know if it, like, remember T.O. doing sit-ups in the driveway? Yeah. Remember who was also there answering questions? I mean, Rosenhaus likes the circus atmosphere to it, and more often than not, it works for his guy.
All right, let's get to the calls with you guys. 617-779-7937. Rick's in Plymouth. Hey, Rick, how you doing?
How you doing, Dale?
What's going on?
Actually, well, there's so much I want to talk about, but in the interest of time, I'll go with the Trey Flowers thing. Have you noticed a pattern of expatriates who've gone free agent to other places who seem to be available very soon after the time they left? Like Amendola, like Jamie Collins. I mean, if Trey Flowers goes elsewhere, first of all, if Matt Patricia pays $18 million for him, he's a fool. I'm sorry. He's not worth that kind of money. No player is worth that kind of money in the NFL except Tom Brady, and he don't make that kind of money. But the fact is that these players leave. They think they're going to have this success because they're expatriates. They overpay for them, and then they're gone a year later. I mean, Amendola goes to the Dolphins, and now he wants to come crawling home because it didn't work out in South Florida.
Well, he's going to Detroit for good money. He's not crying to come home.
Your point overall is a good one, that what happens is that some of these guys, and Jamie Collins and Danny Amendola, ultimately the team that has the guy says, now the contract doesn't look so good.
Oh, that's true.
We got to get rid of this guy for contract reasons. I don't think anybody in Miami had an issue with Danny Amendola. You know, good guy, productive player, but I don't know if we can, we can't afford that one now.
No, but I mean, I think there's examples of both. You know, he's making it out to be like everybody leaves and they're not good anymore. I mean, kind of leaving out Chandler Jones leading the league in sacks. You know, not that his team is very good, but I don't think it's Chandler Jones' fault in Arizona that they've been bad. So there have been guys that have left and have been pretty good. You know, Nate Solder and Malcolm Butler were horrible at the beginning, and then they've both kind of righted the ship there for their teams last season.
Like,
but a lot
Trent
of these guys,
Brown, Trent Brown's going to get a huge payday, maybe as early an agreement, maybe as early as today.
He will fit this mold. He'll be available in
a
couple
years. He's going to be available in a year or two. A team is going to say, wait a minute, what were we thinking?
Yeah.
You know what? It's not guaranteed after this anyway, so he's got to go.
But I think, so Trey Flowers, is he worth $18 million a year? I mean, it's a ton of money, and I think it depends on how the rest of your team is built. And if you think he's a missing piece, or if you're, say, the Patriots, and you say, hey, we're already Super Bowl contenders, and we need to keep him to sort of make sure that we're still there, now I think he is worth that kind of money. I'd give it to him.
Alex is in New Hampshire. Hey, Alex.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
I was just wondering, under radar, wide receiver that the Patriots might be looking at, David Funchess. Out of Carolina, I don't think he would break the bank as far as salary cap goes. I don't think he's got an ego or anything like that. And he's been with Cam Newton down there for 4 or 5 years. I'm not quite sure, but just wondering what your thoughts on as far as bringing him in. Thanks. I'll hang up now.
Thanks, Alex. I've never been a fan of him, even going back to Michigan. He's like a fat kind of receiver. He looks almost like a tight end. Like, he's slow. I'm not wild about Devin Funchess. He's been there 4 years in Carolina. 2017, he did have 8 touchdowns. Last year, he had 4. He had 549 yards, 44 catches. Big dude. He's listed at 6'4", 225. He's got to be heavier than that. Kind of a big, plodding, fat receiver. So
not fat, but...
What? Rossi, what are you shaking here? How would you describe Devin Funchess?
I thought
Funchess
you're the one
built?
Who has said we're not fat shaming.
No, we're not
people,
fat shaming, but you got to paint a picture for the people. That's what you got to do.
I just agree with you. I think he's an athletic freak.
You
I
think
like him
Devin
a lot.
Funchess
he's
is
He's the
an
guy
athletic...
I've been talking about. I think this is the fit. Like, as you guys are talking about Terrell
Williams.
You want
Williams. Devin Funchess?
Yeah, because, again, he's not going to break the bank. I think Brady will get more out of him.
He might break a few seats, but he's not going to break
like
the bank.
It sounds like Rossi made the call here.
Was that you calling from the other room?
I did. It just disguised my voice.
Alex in New Hampshire, yeah.
I mean, if you move him to tight end, maybe.
No, well, he could. No, because he's not a blocking guy. He dominated the Patriots 2 seasons ago in the game. He is a guy, I just find that he could be a real good deep threat and a tall receiver.
Would you rather have Tyrell Williams or Devin Funchess?
Well, I'd rather have Williams, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Williams is more expensive. That's a lot more expensive. What about Golden Tate or Devin Funchess?
Devin Funchess.
No way. Why do you like Devin Funchess so much?
I think he's one of those receivers.
You think he's the real deal?
I do. I don't think Cam Newton's an outstanding quarterback, and I think, he plays
He's MVP
Brady.
Of the league, though. That's nothing to sneeze at.
That's fine.
He was MVP, so.
So was Tom Brady, and Tom Brady's multiple MVP. I think he could bring the most out of him.
Nobody's arguing that Tom Brady isn't an excellent quarterback. you're just piling on Cam Newton, and you're saying that that's why. So if Devin Funchess went somewhere else.
I just don't think he's that good.
Devin Funchess would need to have weight clauses. Then maybe.
I think you're over.
He's not Kelvin Benjamin.
Yeah, I was going to say. It's not like you're putting number 82 on Trent Brown and saying, okay, go out there and run.
Let's see what his 40 time was at the combine. I bet it was very slow. Efforting.
I mean,
you can take another call.
There is such a thing as, you know, wide receivers.
You ready for it? Ready for his 40 time at the combine? 4.70.
Don't need him to burn it. Just need him to catch the ball.
Your boy Richie Keefe was faster than that. You like
that? Is that true?
Yes. Yes.
But were you considered a chunky wide receiver?
Eamon's telling me he ran a 4.47 at his pro day.
Please. And a 4.53.
Please, those are greased.
Oh, wait a minute.
No,
wait a minute.
Combine.
So your number is real. His number is made up.
Combine. I'm like, no. He said pro day.
Yeah, that's a.
The pro day numbers are always faster because you have your guy on the clock. The combine.
Well, no, each scout's sitting there with his stopwatch, too.
No, but the official combine is what they base it off of. So I'm fine aiming with that, but the official combine, 4.7 flat.
So 5 years ago, that was his run time. Who cares?
He was also 232 pre-draft.
He's a tank.
I don't want Devin Funchess. Looks like he's running in quicksand out there. I don't want him.
Red zone, I don't need him running five.
Red
Just
zone.
Toss it up to him. Please.
All right, fine.
617-779-7937. Mike's in Wakefield. Hey, Mike.
Gentlemen, what's going on?
Mike.
I love the Bennett trade, and I think what's funny about all these divas around the league, like Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, they don't realize that. Well, I mean, I guess it's good for them. They're priced themselves almost out of the market because there weren't many teams that were going to trade for Antonio Brown at that tag price. And, boy, the Oakland Raiders become the new Cleveland Browns. Give me Hard Knocks all day next year on those guys. I just want to see that black hole fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously. But I like the move. And I think if it's possible to keep – I don't know about this, but what do you guys think? Do you think that, say – Patricia throwing $18 million a year over to Trey Flowers, but the Patriots, like, we'll give you 15. Do you think they'd come up that far?
Yeah, I think they're going to have to. If they even give him an offer at all, it's going to have to be something like that. Otherwise, what's the point of being like, hey, we'll give you $10 million? He's like, kidding me? Like, do you see what I'm getting over here? Do you see what these other teams are doing? Or it may just end up being what they did with Devin McCourty and Dante Hightower. They may not even have given him an offer yet. They tell him, go see what the offers are from Miami, Detroit, maybe another team, then come back to us, and we can either get close, match it, or we'll just say, hey, it was a real pleasure having you on the team.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Dale and Keith, Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
WEEI.
Hit us up on Twitter at Dale Keefe WEEI. Now more of Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Last year they were very interested in him and made a push at him last year during the offseason before Philly ended up pulling the trigger and making the deal. I think they came in a little bit too late to make it happen, but he's a versatile player, and that sort of fits the bill for what they're looking along that front line. And look, he's put up sack numbers that they really haven't anybody do for them in some time, but that sort of ability to be, you know, a tackle, a defensive end, you play from the left side, you play from the right side. They love having those chess pieces up front and being able to move them around. And this one is a high-end chess piece, even at the age of 32.
Mike Giardi, NFL Network, talking about the Patriots' apparent acquisition of Michael Bennett. League business doesn't actually begin until Wednesday. So you'll see a whole bunch of stuff announced on Wednesday that you think has been agreed to, and it has been. The Antonio Brown trade will become official on Wednesday. That what they can do, guys who've been released, like Danny Amendola, he was released. He's a street free agent. he can sign.
Right.
I mean, they could announce it. I don't know if they will today, but they can.
As I say, Danny Amendola has been cut and signed before Craig Kimbrell is signed.
Yeah.
Like, the NFL stuff is already picking up, and we've already gotten big-time trades. A lot of guys, you know, starting on Wednesday, we're going to have even more information. I mean, it just goes to show you once again how bad the baseball situation is. But in football, I mean, all kinds of stuff going on, Michael Bennett being the biggest. And that was Mike Giardi. Did you see what Tommy Curran tweeted when the news came out? This was on Friday. Tommy Curran said, "My favorite Michael Bennett play was watching Gronk beat the bleep out of him at the end of Super Bowl 49 after Bennett's scumbag dirty play. Tough guy to like." And I would just say he's probably not alone in feeling that way. And there's not a ton of guys around the league, in my mind, that would immediately join the Patriots and get that kind of reaction by a beat reporter. Like, the first thing to say is tough guy to like, because I think Martellus Bennett was kind of similar in the sense that fans thought he was entertaining and he had all, like, the Imagination Factory and all this stuff. And he was always talking about, but talking to a lot of the different beat guys, they got sick of him pretty quick, and they're like, yeah, he thinks he's a lot more interesting than he is. And you wonder if Michael has some of the same traits.
Well, apparently we'll get an opportunity.
We are going to find out for sure.
By the way, I did a quick Bing here. I didn't actually use Bing.
Well, you could.
Makes you feel better when I say that. And I just looked it up real quick. Julian Edelman's 40 time was 4.52 at the combine.
Yeah, and he's a guy that you just need him to be quick. You don't even need him to be as fast. And he's blowing Funchess out of the water.
Oh, yeah, 0.2 seconds difference?
Do you not understand how the 40s work,
Dale? I do understand. What I'm saying is nobody would look at Julian Edelman. No one would say Julian Edelman is a speed burner.
Is he an outside receiver? Is he supposed to be a burner?
Usually, no.
4.5. I think Devin Funchess would kill a guy for a 4.5 at the combine.
Except you want to use the Devin Funchess number that fits your narrative as opposed to the
ones I'm using the combine
one. The ones Eamon gave you, which put him right where Julian Edelman is.
I don't count that one. I would count the combine one.
Of course you don't.
That's what everybody does. So you like Devin Funchess is your point?
Oh, I do like him.
Okay. I don't know why.
I also, by the way, don't think he's quite as chunky as you do.
He's slow and he's chubby. He's a chubby bunny out there.
How about thick?
He's thick.
With two C's.
He is thick with two C's. I agree with that part. He ran a 4.7 40. That's why I'm at the 40 was 4.7 flat.
Whoopity-doo.
That's
some of these guys. Let's look
at a slow poke.
Let's watch all the guys that had all these 4.2s or 4.3.
Hard to take the top off the defense, Rossi, if you're running in quicksand.
In 25 yards and in, I'm all set with how fast he can get there. Go catch the ball.
25 and in. That's my other question with him. Can he catch?
Yes.
No, he can't.
He's not as durable.
He's got paddle hands.
He's not paddle hands.
He's got paddle hands. I don't want him.
Did you see somebody tweeted us? Mike Marshall tweeted us some footage of Devin Funchess at the combine. Guy says, "I wish I were as fat as Devin Funchess." That ain't fat.
No, he's put on some weight since then. When was that? That was at his combine.
That was his combine.
That was when he was
only 24 now, so it wasn't. That
was when he was
ago.
A young pup of a guy. Yeah, I mean, every year though, your metabolism gets worse. Trust me.
Listen, you bring him into New
take
England.
My word for it.
That ain't fat.
Take my word for it.
Bring him into New England. Get him on a weekend 180. We'll get this guy.
That's a good point.
He'll be fine.
Whip him into
shape. Away we go.
I don't want him.
Eric's in New Hampshire. Hey, Eric.
All right. Devin Funchess is a bum.
There you go. There you go, Eric. Now you're speaking my language.
What about Adam Humphries?
Yeah, there's been a lot of buzz there with Adam Humphries.
He's like the rich man's Chris Hogan.
Oh, I like that.
Rich man's Chris Hogan.
That'd be a good get.
But they don't like Hogan here. Why would they like the rich man's Chris Hogan?
You'd like him a little bit more.
He's the improved version. You know, he's got better hands. He's quick. He's young.
He does fit a lot of the characteristics of a Patriots receiver. You know? What's that?
Hogan's got that funny look in his eye, too. You don't really trust him.
He does. He's got a Rashe Caldwell eyes. You're not really sure what's going on there. He does. Thank you, Eric. Eric's a fantastic caller.
Let's keep Eric on.
Hey, Eric, what are you doing later? You want to be the third man
Rossi
in?
Says is, or,
yeah, you guys want to grab something?
Let's do it. Let's hang out sometime. This is great.
180 brews.
This is a budding friendship right now with Eric.
You're going to have him in the Fortress of Solitude, having to sit, playing some
drinks.
Games.
We just need to find Dale and Eric now. I have an Eric. You got an Eric.
So when you hear Adam Humphries, is your first thought like, oh, Jesus? Or do you say, oh, he'd be a good fit? Because you know what they would say around the league if the Patriots signed Adam Humphries?
Another quality receiver.
Yeah. Well, let me guess. He's gritty. He,
Dirt dog.
Dirt dog.
Gamer.
Always in the playbook.
Scrappy.
Scrappy.
He's for sure scrappy. But he had a good year last year. He had 76 catches, 816 yards, 5 touchdowns in Tampa. So I'd be okay with Adam Humphries. I still think Golden Tate, out of all the guys, would be my number one wide receiver priority. Tyrell Williams is definitely good, but he might cost you the most.
It's going to cost you a lot.
I do like Humphreys, though. No problem with that one.
Golden Tate would cost you what, do you figure?
Not a ton. What Amendola got, maybe?
4.5
Less?
He's going to make more than that.
More than that? What was the contract he just had? I don't think it was a ton. I'll look it up.
I mean, it won't be as much as Tyrell Williams. I grant you that.
No, definitely not.
Williams is sort of the top of the food pay chain here.
And Golden Tate's already 30 years old, you know, so.
He made 3.7 last year.
Tate did?
Tate.
Yes, and Amendola just signed for 4.5
4.5
The year before that, he made 8.3
Yeah, okay.
So I don't think he's going to come for a low.
Yeah, 2014 with the Lions, it was a 5-year, $31 million deal, but only 13.25 was guaranteed. He's not going to cost you a ton of money. And maybe he even does one of those things where he signs a 1-year deal, plays with Tom Brady, and then hopes, all right, I have one last contract to make after that.
Joe's on the cell phone. Hey, Joe.
Hi.
What's up?
Good afternoon. Good morning, fellas. Hi. I just wanted to make a comment, especially Dale. I know you didn't do the Bruins game last night, but, I mean, that was a terrible game. They just were. I mean, they weren't beat by a better team. They lost.
You know, once every 20 games, I guess, that it can happen, huh, Joe?
Yeah. But, I mean, I wouldn't mind if they, you know.
They got beat 4-2 with an empty net goal.
That first goal by Pittsburgh, there was somebody trying to block the Pittsburgh forward in the net, and he just stood there. He didn't push him out of the way or anything.
No fight in them, you think, Joe?
Yeah, no fight in them.
No.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, it's Pittsburgh, and I know they have, you know, Pittsburgh's been one of their, I think, their teams to beat.
Sure. They got that, that cup
experience. Maybe it was
back-to-back
games. I don't know.
You just think they're, flat. You giving up on them, Joe?
Somebody on Twitter last night said that the Bruins were overmatched. So
you didn't get that sense? Overmatched? Well, anytime you go up against Lemieux and Jágr, like, good luck. Well, that is a squad.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see them anytime soon.
I think Jágr's still playing.
So, but in Europe.
Well,
as I pointed out, going into last night's action, the Bruins had 93 points. The Penguins had 81 points. And I said, overmatched? Can't they just lose a game?
Yeah, they lost.
You know, every 20 or so,
well,
can't they just
not like
lose
they lost
a game in regulation?
6-0 or something, right? Like, you're waiting, it wasn't like a complete stinker.
I have to admit, when they scored, when John Moore scored with the goalie pulled to make it 3-2, I'm going, holy crap, they're going to do this again.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
And they ended up giving up the empty netter. I mean, they got beat 4-2 with an empty net goal by the Pittsburgh Penguins in Pittsburgh.
Well, now we can
cool off. They were playing without Pastrnak and DeBrusk. And, I don't think they got overpowered. They weren't overmatched. They weren't outworked.
Some would say
they lost the game.
It was a good loss because of all the peaking too early conversation.
There are those
you can wipe that out.
God we don't have to worry about that anymore.
You needed to lose, and now you can start fresh. What, they got Columbus tomorrow? Let's see the new look Blue Jackets. See how that goes?
Columbus tomorrow, Winnipeg Thursday, Columbus Saturday.
Yep, there you go.
617-779-7937 is still, honest to God, they came out flat, didn't they?
Listen, they weren't very good. Fly as a pancake, he
quarter
said.
Of a season you go without losing a game in regulation. What the hell is wrong with the
there
Bruins?
There was one gentleman there was in front of the net. Just, you know.
And nobody touched him.
Just minding his own business.
Push him out of the way.
Yeah, get him out of there.
Come on, let's go. What's wrong with you guys?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.